Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY13 results conference call of Info Edge India Limited. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, MD and CEO, Mr. Ambarish Raghuvanshi, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, for the duration of this conference, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you and good evening, and welcome to our second quarter results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company, then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we will be happy to take questions. For the company as a whole, net sales in Q2 were rupees 123 crores versus rupees 106 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of about 15%. For Q2, operating EBITDA was at 44 crores, an increase of 20% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margin was at 35% versus 34% in Q2 of last year. Other income decreased mainly on account of fewer FMPs maturing in Q2, plus due to the RBI hiking short-term rates, the liquid mutual plus funds were invested in did not earn returns for nearly a month. PAT was at 33 crores, which was flat year-on-year. Operating PAT was at 26 crores, up 7% year-on-year on account of higher depreciation. And operating PAT margin was at 21% versus 23% for the same quarter last year. Deferred sales revenue has decreased to rupees 121 crores versus rupees 131 crores as of September 30th versus June 30th. We continue to be cautious for the financial year 13-14, mainly due to domestic and global concerns. Naukri has thus far weathered the slowdown reasonably well, partly helped by the IT sector being stable and also possibly that we may be taking away share from competition. Moving on to business-wise performance. In the recruitment business, top line grew by 7% to rupees 90 crores. EBITDA margins in recruitment were at 50%, similar to that in Q1 of last year. In Naukri, EBITDA margin was at 55%, similar to that in Q1 of last year. On the operating side, in Naukri in Q2, we added about 10,900 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 35 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 1,39,000 per day, and this number has gradually trended upwards, which is encouraging. The Naukri JobSpeak Index was at 1,238 in September 2013 versus 1,230 in June. In Q2, we serviced 27,000 unique customers, up from 25,500 customers in Q1. In H1, we serviced 33,500 customers versus 35,500 customers in H1 last year. 99acres had a very good quarter. Top line in 99acres grew by 57% year-on-year in Q2 to 18.5 crores. In Q2, 99acres made a loss of rupees 1 crore on account of brand building and growing investment in team and product development. Paid listings in Q2 were at 5.6 lakhs versus 4 lakhs last year. In Jeevansathi, net sales in Q2 grew 16% year-on-year. There was an EBITDA loss of around 80 lakhs in Q2 in Jeevansathi this year. In Shiksha, net sales grew at over 60% over last year. As far as our strategic investments in our investing companies go, our investing companies continue to witness tremendous growth. We have not made any further investments in Q2. As you may be aware, Zomato is looking to raise money, and we would be participating in this round along with another investor. We continue to carefully evaluate other investment opportunities, mainly in the Indian internet market. To summarize, the job market continues to be tight. This may be the case till the economy starts opening up again. Growth has improved marginally due to IT being stable and because we are gaining share from competition. Our competitive position in Naukri continues to be strong, and if growth comes back, we will benefit. In the meanwhile, we will continue to invest more in the business, especially in areas like product development, to strengthen our leadership position. Some new product features were rolled out in the last quarter. We rolled out a Naukri recruiter profile product. We improved our response management system. Over the next 6 to 12 months, more rollouts, including a Naukri Android app, are expected. In 99 acres, we continue to invest in sales and brand building and product development. Several new projects were rolled out in the last 3-4 months, and many more are in the pipeline for the next few months. As mentioned earlier in our calls, if top line for the company grows at 20% or lower, we may yield margins. 99 acres continue to grow in an uncertain market, and we will continue to invest more and more in this business. We continue to invest in Jeevansathi and Shiksha as well. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Abhay Gaurav from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a few questions. Firstly, if you could just remind us on the number of customers in recruitment. You mentioned 35,000, but
35,500 in H1 versus 33,500 in H1 last year.
Okay. Secondly, you know, I see that your employee number has gone down. So is there some rationalization happening over there?
They gone down?
No. The employee number has gone down.
Marginally. No, not really.
No, there's no rationalization.
See, normally what happens is we do a lot of campus hiring. So our headcount sort of drops, you know, from April to September and then goes up again.
Okay. Thirdly, on the ad spend, I see there's a sharp drop this quarter, almost 30% quarter on quarter. And we have seen that third quarter is any which way seasonally slow when it comes to ad spend if you look at the last 2-3 years. So how should we be looking at the ad spend going forward in the next couple of quarters?
See, normally ad spends go up and down depending on whether we are on TV or not and depending on how many brands are on TV. So in a quarter, if we have 3 brands on TV, the ad spend could be very high. And if we have only 1 brand or no brand on TV, the ad spend could be very low. Yes, you are right. Q3 is normally a lean quarter as far as advertising is concerned. But, you know, advertising spends would depend on what happens with competition, whether we see growth coming back or not, and multiple other factors.
So, as you said, that the market, in especially for the job market, remains weak. So, and you are also gaining market share from your competition. So should we expect that 3Q will remain seasonally weak as per the last few year trends for ad spend?
For ad spend and job, yes. It's, you know, normally a lean quarter for us. But we could advertise heavily in other businesses. I can't say for sure at this point in time.
Sure. Just one or two more questions. One is that your realization in Jeevansathi seems to have shot up. If you can just help us understand what's happening over there.
So that's a result of a price hike we took some time back in the Jeevansathi business.
Okay. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shindadkar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, if I look at the sales and marketing spends and reconcile that with the losses in the other verticals, is it fair to assume that we have significantly reduced, the reduction in the losses in the other verticals is because of the reduction in the sales and marketing spends?
Well, not really. You know, losses have gone down, yeah, partly because of reduced sales and marketing spend and also partly because of sales going up in the other verticals.
Okay, so what should be a good...
For example, we had massive store sales growth, yes, and we cut advertising spend in Shiksha and Jeevansathi to some extent.
Okay, and so what should be a run rate that we should look at for the sales and marketing spends?
That's very hard to say. You see, marketing spend, like I said, is a function of, you know, competitive activity, is a function of how fast we are growing and a couple of other factors. So, you know, if growth looks up, we may spend more on marketing. If we see an opportunity to gain share, we may invest more in marketing. If there is a lot of competition spending, then we may invest more in marketing. So it's very hard to predict at this point in time.
Sir, apology to persist, but is it any change in our, the reason I'm asking is there any change in the thought process about maintaining the EBITDA margins for the overall company by reducing the spends in the investing companies? Is that a change in the thought process, or this 2 crore run rate should be a doable number going ahead?
2 crore run rate meaning, sorry?
The 2 crore losses, the 22 million.
In the other businesses?
Yes.
Like I said, you know, a lot depends on ad spend, and in some verticals we are also expanding, you know, opening more offices, hiring more people, investing in other areas like product development, technology and design. Yes, Q2 was a quarter of low ad spend, but I can't say for sure that this is what you should expect going forward as well. Like I said, a lot will depend on competitive activity and our growth rates and the opportunities you see in the marketplace.
No, so to answer your question, we are not really looking at trying to contain advertising as a form of trying to, you know, improve the margins for the company. We are taking each business by business, seeing it based on what is required for a business. So it's certainly not, you know, by design that, yes, I mean, you know, we want to contain the losses from other verticals at a particular figure or to look at a particular targeted return for the company. We are doing what we think is right for each business, and you know, there's a medium-term outlook to each business, and it's, you know, as Hitesh said, it's largely determined by competitive activity or whether that, you know, seasonally that is the right quarter to advertise or not to advertise, whether to invest, you know, to spend more on television or whether to do more of online advertising. These decisions are made based on business imperatives, not on what the targeted margins we're looking at.
Right. So let me ask you this way: has our perception about the outlook of the investing companies has changed significantly over the quarter?
No. So first of all, these are not investing companies; these are our internal businesses that we are talking about: 99 Acres, Shiksha, and Jeevan Sathi.
Right.
This is what we mean by other businesses. So these are 100% known businesses. Now, as like I said, you know, in 99 Acres, we see a great opportunity in the medium term. It's a big category. It's a 2,000 plus crore category in print. This revenue has to move online over a period of time. So if it means, you know, investing more in the short term to establish leadership and to sort of improve the product and improve our brand, we will do it. So we are not targeting any particular EBITDA number in 99 Acres. As far as Jeevan Sathi is concerned, you know, we have been saying for a while that we are trying out new things. We are experimenting with new models. So there could be quarters in which we spend more. There could be quarters in which we spend less. But, you know, we are giving ourselves a few sort of more quarters to figure out the model here, the right model here. We want to disrupt the market, you know, in some way. As far as Shiksha is concerned, Shiksha is a seasonal business. You know, ad spend normally looks up in Q4 and Q1 because that's when a lot of education institutes enroll students and is normally weak in Q2 and Q3.
Okay, sir. Thanks for taking my question and best of luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. Next question is from the line of Srinivas Shashadri from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is pertaining to 99 Acres. So if I either look at the revenue numbers where you said it's grown by 57%, which is probably a pretty strong number even in the context of the last few quarters, and also, I mean, if I look at the operating metrics, there is a huge kind of even quarter-on-quarter surge in the paid transactions or the listings. So just wanted to understand this, whether it is a function of the environment or are we getting something right here in terms of product or market share or something which can explain this kind of acceleration in the operating metrics and the revenues.
Well, as you're aware, the market for real estate continues to be tight. You know, there aren't enough new launches taking place. There aren't enough houses being sold. However, we continue to grow aggressively in this space. It's a result of two or three things. One, of course, our team is executing well. We have expanded our sales operation. We've invested a lot in product development and brand building. It's also a function of the fact that, you know, the offline market for real estate is huge. Like I had mentioned earlier in the call, more than 2,000 crores a year is spent on real estate advertising offline. And this has to migrate online over a period of time. Our estimate is less than 10% of this money is spent online today. So this will only grow because online is a more efficient way of attracting customers and generating leads for property to rent or sell. So this is the reason why we continue to grow in a market which may otherwise be sort of stagnant or contracting currently.
Right. But anything you can pinpoint to in terms of why there has been a huge kind of surge just within the space of one quarter, basically, in the numbers? So anything in particular?
No, we grew at over 50% last year as well.
Yeah.
And we grew at over 50% in the first quarter too. There's been a surge because, we've been hiring salespeople, we've opened new offices, we've expanded our sales operation phenomenally over the last 1 year.
Okay. So it's a cumulative result which you're seeing in the listings numbers or the transactions.
Correct. Because we've added a lot of new customers because we have many more salespeople on the ground and we've opened new offices.
Right. And Hitesh, a related question is on the competition. Like, unlike Naukri, where you can say we have a reasonably clear field, here you have competition and you still have a phenomenon of new companies kind of trying to get into this space. So can you kind of elaborate on how it is right now, qualitatively or quantitatively, where you stand and what is the outlook there over the next year or so?
Yeah, so this, like I mentioned, it's a big category and everybody's seeing that, and there are lots of established companies in the space. We have compete within the matrimony space, Shaadi and Bharat Matrimony, they both have portals in this space. Then we have, of course, Times of India and Magic Breaks. Then there are a slew of startups out there, at least three or four of them trying to do things very differently. So it's a very competitive and hot space at this point in time. The truth is that real estate companies worldwide are very, very big online, and that's what people potentially see happening in India as well. I think the space will continue to be competitive for the next maybe 2 or 3 years at the very least. And therefore, we'll have to fight very hard. It's unlikely that we would have the kind of dominance that we have in Naukri in the next 2 or 3 years. But if we can maintain our leadership and continue to grow aggressively, we'll be okay after a while.
Okay. Does that also mean that we would be investing an outsized amount and hence, as investors, we should not expect any kind of a material profitability generation over the next 1 to 2 period out of this vertical?
Yeah, I think for the next 12 months or so, we should not expect any serious profit from Engineering Acres. The focus will be product development, technology, design, brand building, increasing the size of the sales team, opening new offices. So we'll be investing a lot for the future. And if, of course, the business continues to grow aggressively, if we continue to grow at 50% for the next 12 to 18 months, we may make some sort of profit. But if growth slows down a bit, then we could go into a loss as well.
Okay, fine. Okay, thanks. I'll probably come back for more questions later.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one for asking a question. The next question is from the line of Sagar Rastogi from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My first question is about dividends. Could you talk about how you think about them? Is there a target payout ratio in mind or a target amount of cash that you want to keep on hand and distribute everything over it? How do you see it?
So we are in the process of evolving our dividend policy, and we have yet to agree on it. And we will do so. And once we do so, we will announce the dividend policy. And so therefore, can't comment right now on any target payout ratio or anything. But we have been receiving feedback from shareholders that, listen, can you look at increasing the dividend? And we considered that request, it's been coming consistently in the last 6 to 9 months. We considered that request, and which is why we've issued an interim dividend today. We've announced an interim dividend today. We will announce the dividend policy as and when it evolves.
Okay. This is now on the business. Could you share what percentage of your traffic comes through mobiles in each of your properties?
So, it's different in different categories, but it's so far been averaging between 15 to 30% depending on the category we're in. So, in Shiksha, where we have a lot of young customers on our site, it's reasonably high, while in some other categories which don't lend themselves to the mobile phone very easily, it's a little low. However, having said that, we are aggressively working on developing the next set of apps for each of our sites. And in Naukri, we are launching an Android app this month. In Naukri Gulf, we just sort of submitted an iPhone app. In 99 Acres, the app is under development. So once all these apps have been launched and once we get them right, then we expect this traffic to increase significantly over a period of time. Right now, this traffic is growing fast month on month. is all I can say.
Okay. Okay. Specifically on 99 acres and Naukri, I mean, Naukri, I understand it would probably be low, about 15%. On 99 acres, would it be at the higher end or closer to the low end?
So we don't have a good 99 acres app also out as yet. We have a good mobile site, which is what we focused on to start with. I think it's close to about 18-20% even 99 acres at this point in time.
Okay, fine. And lastly, sorry, I just missed the EBITDA loss in Jeevan Sathi. Could you repeat that?
80 lakhs.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinivas Seshadri from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions again. My other question is pertaining to the Naukri business. Could you share some trends, maybe how the growth has been in the IT sector, I mean, including the indirect recruiter-based demand, and the growth outside the IT sector for Naukri?
Well, you know, the mix has not changed a lot. You know, IT services are still directly contribute about 26.5% of our revenue. And they've been hovering between 25-27% for the last X number of years. Yeah, but anecdotally, what I can tell you is that the IT sort of market is a lot more stable than it was earlier, and certainly a lot more stable than the other sectors we operate in.
Okay. I've been seeing that, though, as you mentioned earlier, that this time around the slowdown has not really knocked off the revenue to a negative YOY growth trajectory. Do you sense that this may be last couple of quarters we have settled at around 8%. This may be a kind of a baseline growth for the next couple of months at least, or is there risk to this kind of a growth number also based on whatever you read of the environment?
Well, you know, our revenue growth in Naukri depends on two major factors. One is, of course, how the U.S. economy is doing, because that determines how IT companies are doing. And, of course, too, how the Indian economy is doing. And because most of the businesses in India, hiring is indexed to GDP growth. So if we assume that GDP growth has, the growth rate is going to improve from here on, then hopefully things will improve. If not next quarter, then with a lag of maybe one or two quarters. But if the worst is not over as yet, then, growth could slow down from there. Who knows?
Okay. And are there any other lead indicators you look at to kind of at least get some sense of what is happening like on this front?
No, there's nothing else that, we look at. I mean, we just basically go by what our sales guys are saying and what customers say to them. And it's not as if the listings on the site have moved up phenomenally or there's a lot of usage of the site as such. Nothing of that sort is visible at the moment. But yes, what we see and what we hear is that there is some movement which has started. Some people seem to be switching jobs, people we know, people we are in touch with. The IT sector seems to be holding. And, it is also possible that we are gaining share from competition. So, our growth rate may not just be a function of the marketplace, but may also be a function of the fact that competition is slowing down.
Right. Fine. And just maybe finally a couple of questions on the startups. Would it be possible to share maybe half-yearly financial trends on an aggregate of the startups, how they're doing versus first half of last year, if that's possible?
And put it out.
Well, it's particularly a little poor because it's still only half year gone and many of these, startups don't, compute the results every quarter. Of course, we have internal management analysis, but we'll have a clearer picture maybe end of next quarter.
Okay.
End of this quarter, yeah.
And Sanjeev, would it be kind of fair to assume based on your last quarter's commentary that the cash burn basically on an overall basis will be down substantially as you want?
No, it depends on the strategy of the startups. Lamato, for example, has now gone into 8 overseas countries and they're planning to step on the gas there and add more countries. So the Zomato burn, is expected to be a lot higher. And this is an investment and not really, something they shouldn't be doing. So it's actually good for the business. And so a lot will depend on the strategy. 6 months ago or 9 months ago, we could not have said that this will be the Zomato strategy, a year later. Yeah.
Okay.
But the results have been very encouraging from the 8 overseas markets they've gone into, which is why they are pursuing the strategy.
Okay, fine. And Sanjeev, do you see for Zomato specifically any impact of on the Indian business, because Just Dial has been pretty aggressive in this market in terms of trying to get ratings aggregation as well as doing some bit of value-added services.
Our sense is that ratings don't really matter as much as granular reviews. So reviews are much, much more important than ratings. And I think Zomato is doing very well in ratings. You know, the management team of Zomato tells us that in their reckoning, you know, their traffic from India is several times that of Just Dial from the restaurant segment. But, you know, there is no way of sort of confirming this because until you get internal data from the companies, you can't really tell. But that's the estimate of management of Zomato.
Okay, okay. And incrementally, you don't perceive that as a major threat to the business model for
The Zomato management doesn't seem to think so, and I tend to concur.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Rai from VC Circle. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. You've done well operationally, but then your taxes have increased, and because of that, the profit has remained flat. Can you shed some light on the same?
No, so profits have remained flat not because of tax rates alone. They've remained flat because of the drop in other income, and that's largely the treasury income. And as Hitesh explained, you know, in his opening comments, that's the result of two things. One is the component of FMPs which were maturing in this quarter dropped. And secondly, because of the volatility in interest rates in July, when the RBI spiked interest rates and, you know, changed those things to try and contain the slide in the dollar and rupee rate. And they came out with those new guidelines. As a result of that, there was a huge spike in short-term interest rates. And as a result of that, for about a month, a lot of our liquid plus scheme, in which a lot of our money is deployed, did not earn any return for about a month. So these were that was the main factor for the drop. Coming to the tax rate, one, there's been, you know, year on year, there's been an increase of about 1.5% because of surcharge. And the second is the lower component of FMPs, because FMPs, you know, give us a slightly more tax-friendly return. And, you know, that, as you know, FMPs are accounted for when they mature and not during the course of the FMP. So this year we have deployed, you know, some in the second quarter, and those will mature next year sometime in second quarter, you know, assuming that a lot of them were 12-month or 13-month FMPs. So the tax rate went up from about 27.5% to a little over 31%. So that accounts for the increase in tax rate.
Okay, fair enough. One more question. Mr. Hitesh had said that you're planning to invest a follow-on round in Zomato along with some other investor. So is there a range that you've set as of now?
So we are still being negotiated. We don't have a specific number. The company certainly was in the market, and I think it's to raise a certain amount of money. We don't know how much we are putting in and how much the other investors are putting in. So that mix is still to be frozen and decided.
Okay. But is there a time frame for the thing?
No. Over the next, you know, by the end of this financial year, by the end of this calendar year is when they're hoping to close this year. Sometime
okay.
In December.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Hey, my first question is on 99 acres. Could you just explain where we have opened the new offices? Is it in the existing markets or we are also looking at some new markets? And what could be the employee addition in 99 acres in the sales staff?
So I won't be able to give you the numbers for salespeople because I think that information is confidential. We've opened offices in some small cities, and we've also set up some offices in our existing cities.
So currently, how many cities are we present in, and what is the strategy for next 6 months or 1 year? Would we penetrate in tier 2 cities more?
Well, you know, Naukri is present in some 35-40 cities. So I think it is only natural for 99 acres to expand to 35-40 cities over the next, you know, 1 or 2 years.
And currently, we are in how many cities?
Currently, I think we are in about 14 or 15 cities, yeah.
Right. My second question is on the market share gain in Naukri. You emphasized twice or thrice about that. From which competition are we gaining market share currently? Is it still between 60 and 65? Have we increased our market share further?
So 64-65% is our traffic share. When I sort of said market share, I was referring to the revenue market share. And this is pure speculation because we've been growing reasonably well in a slow sort of growth environment. And market intelligence, to some extent, you know, has led us to believe that it's partly on account of good execution and it's partly on account of us gaining maybe a little bit of revenue share from some of our competitors.
Sure. Also, some of the products you mentioned which you launched, like the recruiter profile and the other things, how is that helping in terms of realizations? Are we being able to charge higher from the customers based on this, or is it just a value add?
No, this is just, this recruiter profile is a very new product, and it'll be a while before this product sort of helps us generate additional traffic or revenue. Many of the new products we have launched are more sort of in the nature of to help sort of build engagement on the site and to help improve our user experience. We are not directly monetizing them.
Okay. And last on the A&P spends, which you have answered most of it, but then, you know, with October end already there and next 2 month strategy would have already been in place, can we expect the A&P spends to be subdued for the full year, or we are in pipelines to have some advertisements on television for the next 3 to 4 months?
So I explained this earlier, you know, it's not as if we freed our advertising for the strategy for the year in advance. Normally Q3 is a lean quarter. But Q4 is actually has always normally been a heavy quarter for advertising. But, you know, like I said, we can't predict. It depends on many factors.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miten Latia from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I was just looking at the collections trend. Do you think there was anything unusual about collections this quarter? I mean, normally Q1 to Q2 ish this quarter, we experienced quite a bit of decline.
Can you just repeat that? I mean,
First of all, collections would have declined by about 15-17% quarter on quarter. Is that the right estimate?
I don't think so. We can check, but I don't think so. That is the case.
No, ma'am. That's what I sort of gather from the deferred sales revenue number.
Okay, let me just check.
Sequential quarters, yes. So, you know, as we had mentioned, that a lot of the sale got shifted from Q4 to Q1 of this year because, you know, Q4 of the previous year to Q1 of this year. So Q1 was, you know, like a bumper quarter as far as collections were concerned. And I think, you know, quarter two is pretty much in trend with quarter two, you know, in the previous year. So I think it has fallen back into the trend line.
Right. So like you said, you know, last time collections in Q1 collections grew by 33%, which was an anomaly. And that was because of the service tax issue, which we had in Q4 of last year.
Okay. So this is a current, this is a good baseline number and not the Q1 collections number.
No, not the Q1.
Meaning, because of these cutoff dates, we will get this aberration, and if you smoothen it out from 1st January till 30th September, you know, the Naukri collections were up 9%. And this we had explained in Q1 also. So I don't think there's any sort of change really in the collection trend.
Okay. And, you know, just at a very back of the envelope calculation, do you think bulk of the growth in Naukri collections would be currently coming out of market share gains, or, you know, is there traction in the market at all?
So as we mentioned, I think that IT services sector is holding up reasonably well, and it's probably growing a little bit, and some is, you know, market share gains from other players.
It's very hard to say how much is what. Yeah.
Okay, so there is underlying market growth as well in spite of the sort of dull economy.
That's right.
In some sectors.
Okay.
So as you can see, the number of clients we serviced during the quarter and for the half year have grown. So there are volume gains happening.
Yeah. Thanks a lot and appreciate the interim dividend. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pooja Swami from Span Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Sudhakar here. My question is again regarding your investing company. Just wanted to understand what is the thought process behind investing in so many companies? Because if I recollect correctly, you have over 250 crores of investment in number of companies, which is almost close to 30% of your network. So just wanted to understand what exactly is your strategy on these companies. And also, does Info Edge have significant control over the management of these companies?
So, you know, our goal as an investor is to be a strategic rather than a financial investor, which basically means that as a company does well, we want to invest more and more in subsequent rounds. And if the promoter is comfortable, we might go to a majority even. So thus far, we have gone to a majority in two of our companies, which is Merit Nation and Zomato. The reason why you invest in many because they are early stage and therefore there's a higher risk and therefore the chances of some going sort of not too well is fairly high. So we invested in 9 companies. Of those, we wrote off 3, okay, and which is why so it's a typical sort of corporate venturing sort of strategy. Except our goals are strategic, not financial, in the sense that we don't seek an exit so long as the company is doing well.
Okay. And right now, over 250 crores have been invested. What is the maximum amount you are willing to invest in these companies?
So we have invested a total of 285 crores across 9 companies.
Okay.
We wrote off the investment in 3 companies, which is like what's showing up is the number you've quoted.
Right.
There is no maximum limit or target or, you know, we will evaluate the situation as it comes. And so long as we have enough money in the treasury, there will be no sort of limit. But obviously, we would be a little circumspect when Naukri is going slow, and therefore the internal cash accrual growth is not that high. We would be a little circumspect, and we would prioritize well. But that's about it. And I'd like to clarify. In the opening, Hitesh said that we have not made any new investments in quarter two in our portfolio. Just a clarification: we have made no new investments in fresh offerings of stock by any new or our current company. We did do a small secondary purchase of 2 crores in Canberra.
Okay.
This was part of the earlier round that we had agreed to do. It's just that this particular shareholder was overseas and there was, it took a little time, maybe over a year, to get the paperwork right to get RBI clearance to buy those shares. So we've done 2 crores this quarter as per an earlier commitment.
And Sanjay, how do you assess these companies? Because I believe last quarter you took a hit of around 2.5 crores on one of the investing companies. So at what point do you think that particular investment need to be written off?
So, this is a bit of a judgment call where so long as you believe the company has a future where it can return, give you a positive return on your capital, you sort of continue. But, when you sort of feel that the company is not going to deliver, it's not able to raise further money, you don't have the confidence to put in more money and it can't get money from outside, that's when you sort of, on a conservative basis, you write it off. Naturally, you sort of explore a few options of fundraising before you do that. So thus far, we've written off 3 companies, our investments in 3 companies, Study Places, 99 Labels, and Noble.
And Sanjeev, over the portfolio of the companies, what is the kind of return do you expect over the next 2 to 3 years?
But it's hard to predict because simply, early stage companies, it's very, very hard to predict where they'll end up at. I don't know. And certainly, I don't think over 2 to 3 years we are looking at it. It will probably be longer, maybe 5 to 7 years.
Right. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhay Gaurav from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sanjeev, just wanted to check on Zomato. You mentioned that there is one more investor who is likely to put money with you. And you had also mentioned that, if the company is doing well, then you would like to get into a majority situation, which you are with Zomato. So the question is, why not take the entire funding for the company? Why get a additional investor when you believe the company is doing well and you're already at a majority level?
So it depends on the size of the raise and the size of our balance sheet. And if the raise is going to be large, then we would like to get somebody alongside us.
So, but would you be okay getting diluted to below your current stake, or you would try and maintain your current stake?
We will be probably diluted below our current stake, but let's see. This is still under negotiation. But we are likely to stay majority.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinivas Shishadri from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one question, follow-up question on Zomato. If I look at the last fundraise, we had invested nearly 55 crore for our stake going up from, say, 48.5% to about 58%. So I just wanted to understand if there was any kind of a control premium involved in that stake purchase, or this is a kind of a baseline valuation for the company. I mean, if I work
well, last round, yes, we had given a higher valuation than they were getting outside, and that was because we were transitioning to majority.
Okay, so of the amount which was paid, I mean, would be fair to assume that a significant proportion was pertaining to some kind of a control premium you would have paid, or?
Well, it depends how you define significant, but I would say. A minor fraction of the total valuation that we gave them was on account of a growth
event. A minor fraction. Okay. So you, even in the last round, when you had invested, you perceived the valuation to be over 500 crore, if I kind of work backwards.
No, I think that number is inaccurate, but we can't reveal the valuation, but that number is inaccurate.
Okay. Then would you be able to point out, like, what, how the valuation was done,
It was less than that. It was significantly less than that. So, but I cannot we cannot give out the exact number for competitive reasons.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi.
Thank you, everyone, for being on the call. Have a great evening.
Happy Diwali.
Thank you. On behalf of InfoEdge India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.